But it's good to be here in Winston County. Brad, what did you get here?
83.
First of all, I want to say thank you for a lot of things to the people of Winston County. In 2004, it seemed like yesterday, it was 6 years ago, I ran for my fourth term in the U.S. Senate, and you gave me 83% of the vote. Thank you very much. And so you ought to go to some of those counties in Alabama. One of them, I got 22%. Small county. Of course, no Republican never get any vote there. But I still work it, though, because I might get 25. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? But it all amounts up. It's all part of the aggregate. So I know a lot of you here, and I've seen you over the years. And some of you wearing that crimson tied hat and shirts and things like that. Made me feel like I was in Tuscaloosa, didn't it? You know, or Alabama. But who knows? It's good to be with you. It's good to be on a spring day rather than a winter day. And, I've been touring the state. I'm going from here to Russellville this afternoon, that I'm quitting until Monday morning. And I'll be in Florence, the Lauderdale Colbert Group, having a big breakfast for me. Hope they'll feed me. And there'll be a huge crowd there on Monday morning. Then I'm going to Athens and going back to Washington. So I need your help up there, don't I? Yes. We all need help. Yes. This reminds me of something I repeated a lot because it made an indelible impression on me years ago. And it's true of Washington what was true of the Alabama legislature, more so. I was elected to the state senate. I was pretty young then. I must have been 3 years old. So anyway, I went down there for the first time, and the chairman of the committee was a wise old man, and I was a young guy. He said, have you ever voted on anything that affected people's property, life, taxes, you know, anything, their well-being? I said, no, sir. He said, son, I like that. I didn't like it then. I resented him calling me son, but I like it now. Nobody called me son. But said, son, before you vote on anything, go look at this plaque on the wall. Commit it to memory. Don't ever forget it, and it will serve you well while you're in the legislature. And I did, and I never forgot it. And I'm going to share it with you because it applies to Washington, too. The plaque read, no man's life, liberty, or property was safe while the Alabama legislature was in session. Well, think about it. That's probably true. But it's true of Washington, isn't it? Because what we do in Washington affects you in just about every way in the world, from taxes to energy to health care to our soldiers, to our troops, to our veterans, to our older people, to education, you name it. So that's what it's all about. Well, there's something wrong in Washington, I can tell you. I tell you, the number one thing is wrong. There are too many Democrats up there. And I wish we had 55 Republicans right now. We wouldn't be turning health care upside down. We wouldn't be overtaxing and overregulating everything. We wouldn't be trying to create a socialized nation, you know. Think about it. But we're in the minority now, and we're going to have to fight. And everybody here knows what's going on. And I keep saying this because I've said it on the floor of the Senate. I've said it on national television many times, and I've said it all over the state. I really believe that we have the best health care system in the world. The world.
Right.
Is it perfect? No. It's not perfect. It's expensive. Too expensive. But the Obama administration, they want to turn it upside down. Don't ever kid yourself. And don't ever think it'll be better or it'll be cheaper. It will be rationed. Ultimately, maybe you won't feel it for a few years. When you do feel it, it'll be too late. The House is going to vote tomorrow. It's kind of a sleight of hand, a trick, to vote and not vote. You've been reading about it? You said, well, they didn't want it to be a straight-up vote on the Senate bill because they didn't think they could pass it. They think if they could do a little sleight of hand and say, well, we will deem it passed, but you won't vote for it. But you'll vote for the other. Well, how dumb do they think the American people are? American people figure all that out. You know, you see it. Well, Speaker Pelosi, she's told some people that they're going to need to be sacrificed, some House members, for the good of the nation. Can you imagine that? I wish I were voting over there. I'd say, Madam Speaker, we want to sacrifice you. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have a fear that they will, by hook or crook or threats or promises, will get the votes. And that's not good for America.
That's right.
They will go through a reconciliation process to try to mitigate, to hide some stuff. We will fight it everywhere we can. But, my gosh, I don't believe in the long run it's going to be good for this country. And a lot of people say, oh, they're going to get something for nothing. I don't know about you. I never got anything for nothing. Somebody's paying for something. And we better worry about it. And if you believe this health care that will come about will be better, it will be less expensive, it will be more efficient, we better go back to school, hey?
Amen.
But there are other things going on up there. But that's one. The bank regulations and the proposals to do this. You know, we've had a real debacle on Wall Street, but a lot of our Main Street banks, small community, medium-sized banks in this county and around the country, they didn't cause that problem. And they don't want to be the solution to it, right? You don't want to do that. What caused it was greed, the rating agencies, people doing things, pumping money in, rating securities as investment grade and AAA and everything that worked. And we're paying for it. We're paying dearly. But should we all have to pay for that? No. We got to have good banks. I don't necessarily believe big is bad, but big is bad if they think they're going to be bailed out by the taxpayer, don't you think?
Maybe.
It is. I'm totally against bailouts of auto companies, whether it's General Motors, whether it's Chrysler. Y'all know I was outspoken on all this. On banks, I have to say, some of the banks have got the TARP money, paid the money back, and I commend them for that. And they paid a warrant. But Obama said, well, we're going to tax the banks. I said, why? You want to do that? You want to tax them, yet you want them to loan money. They won't have any money to loan. I'm not defending the banks. I'm just talking about we're in an economic downspin. We need to create jobs. You got to have money to do that. You got to have a fluid banking system. Well, I said, don't tax them. Tax General Motors and AIG and Chrysler. They're never going to pay that money back to the taxpayer. So we're in a kind of an economic downstrom, you know, nationwide and globally. We'll come out of this. You're hurting in this county. But if we stay together and we stay with fundamentals, we'll be all right. But I don't believe that we can borrow our way to prosperity. I don't believe that layering trillions and trillions of dollars debt on these young people sitting here and everybody like them in this country is going to make this country strong and prosper. I don't believe that. And I don't believe you do. But other than that, we can still save this country. This is a great country. But we're headed down the road to financial disaster. Just as sure as that parking lot's over there. We spend too much, we save too little, and we borrow too much, don't we?
Yes.
As a nation, it's all of us. And there's got to be a day of reckoning. But this administration's going to print money and borrow money worse than we ever thought we would as Republicans. You don't think? So I'm hoping that this fall there'll be a day of reckoning in this country. We're not sure. And it didn't start right here in your county because you were always the most Republican of counties. You were, you know. And you were there when I didn't know a Republican. And I remember, I've told this story, I remember when my mother and daddy thought about voting for Eisenhower and did. I was not old enough to vote. That was a big thing. Not in Winston County, you know, but around the state. Well, we've changed a lot. But this year, we got an opportunity to elect a Republican governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, state treasurer, the state legislature. If we could control sheriffs, you name it, Ron. If we could get control of one of the houses of the legislature, we'll change Alabama. Don't you think we would?
Yeah.
And we could do it this year if the people would follow Winston County. You would. You're a leader that way. So I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad to answer anything you want to talk about. So I'm here. Thank you. Anyway. You sound like a young lady to me.
Well,
she's just 63.
Thank you very much, but I'm wondering how long is I'm going to be able to get Social Security.
Are you drawing Social Security yet?
Yes, I am.
So, where's Alan? Alan, she's 63. If she's drawing Social Security, she's got to be 65 or so.
Well, you can retire early.
I know that, but she's...
I took a minute when she's...
She's drawing Medicare?
No.
She got 65. She's 65. I had to check the staff. Uh-huh. You know, very smart. I guess you're going to have to wait. You got two more years or a year and a half?
I got 14 months before I can get Medicare. And I was wondering if I'll be able to get Medicare and how long will my Social Security last?
Well, I'm going to answer you first. When you're 63, don't tell anybody that. They'll think you're 23. You know? If you're 63 and you're drawing Social Security, you'll be fine. I'm pretty sure you'll be fine. Now, these young people over here, they're not going to count on any, you know?
No.
Because they're not going to get it.
Unfortunately, our grandchildren.
It's been a good program for the older people, as long as you had, say, 35 paying in, one paying out. But you'll be fine, I believe, if you live to be 110.
Will we ever see cost of living again?
Oh, yeah. As soon as inflation pops up, you'll see that. But see, you're not getting anything with cost of living. That's just that is just to try to balance inflation. Now, and that's by law. And of course, not everything, but you know, you factor in the cost of everything, wages, salaries, commodities, you name it. And that's how the cost of living is figured. But you're not getting a raise. Somebody said they got a raise. I said, oh, you may have lost money, you know, on this. But if inflation, and it will pick up with the debt we owe, you know, when the economy heats up, it surely will. There will be some cost of living adjustments then. Sure.
They said for the next 3 years, though, we won't get it.
Well, it depends on what inflation is. If inflation if we stay in a kind of an economic downturn worldwide, and inflation stays down despite all the money we're borrowing, if it stays down, they will determine it by a formula which is open, and there will be or there won't be. But I wouldn't count on a cost of living. I wish there were no cost of living. That means there'd be no inflation, you know, because inflation is a scourge that'll kill us all down the road. But if there is inflation, you'll get cost of living. It has to reach a certain threshold. You're right. You know,
it used to be $167,000 if you didn't have to pay taxes. Have they changed that?
No, what now? Say that again.
We were told that we didn't have to pay taxes if we had no more than $167,000 because we're not employed, we're just completely retired.
Oh, you mean if you had a family income of $167,000, you didn't have to pay tax? I don't believe that. No. That's not right. No. I'll tell you what, I do believe that we shouldn't tax Social Security. I do believe we shouldn't tax pensions. And I believe we shouldn't tax interest off of your savings account.
Right.
You don't think about that. I do believe that. Yes, sir.
So, I'm concerned about our educational system in America. It seems that liberals have gained a lot of control over what's put in books. Mm-hmm. I read about Texas, how they have taken out paragraphs about Lincoln and Jefferson and the important people in America, and they're putting in names like Chavez and stuff like that. I don't like that.
Carl Marx.
Yeah. What can we do about that?
Well, we got to take, I'm going to tell you, there's a movement to, I don't know, I guess make everything politically correct, whatever that is, you know, that is. But what we should do in our history books, and so we should tell the truth. We should tell the truth, because the truth is what we need to learn, what our children need to learn. And we should have good schools. I think schools ought to be controlled at the local level, not the state level or federal level, and they're not. Because without good education, we're not going anywhere. We're going to go back to the nation. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Senator, we have over 200 bills still pending in the Senate, and I'm wondering when those are going to get moving. I'm upset that there's such a roadblock.
What kind of bills are you talking about?
All of the bills.
You mean the what's on the legislative calendar?
Right.
Well, a lot of them we ought to kill. We shouldn't at all. That's why the Senate was created. The Senate was created to slow down and filter and cool things, and that's the only reason it was created. It was created by our founding fathers. They created the U.S. House of Representatives that would run every 2 years and be subject to the whims of the moment, you know, honestly. And they created the United States Senate to slow it down, to filter it.
But it's been filtered too much. Everything is gridlock.
Well, gridlock's not all bad, though. I'm going to tell you, right now, the Obama administration has got bills that I would hope would die a thousand deaths, you know? Because we have so many bills doesn't mean we need to act on them. You know, it depends on your perspective, you know, and the context of where you're coming from. But I can tell you, I've been trying to slow a lot of those things down. You can't slow it all down. Some of them are meaningful, some of them aren't, and that's what the legislative process is for.
Yeah.
But I didn't go up there to just rubber stamp bills. If I did, I shouldn't be there. Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. Like you, Congressman and Senator, who pays y'all's insurance?
Who pays our insurance?
Yeah.
We pay a little bit, and the government pays most of it, because we work for the government, just like if we were a federal employee at Redstone Arsenal, you know, or the Corps of Engineers and so forth. But our insurance, all what I have is a Blue Cross insurance policy. Somebody said, what does Congress have? Well, I have a Blue Cross Medicare, you know, stuff, things like that.
Well, when I was in service in World War II, I paid my insurance.
Oh, you, wait a minute now.
I want to ask you another question.
Wait a minute. In Second World War, you paid life insurance if you took it out on yourself. But you didn't pay, as a soldier, you didn't pay insurance because the Army took care of you, the Navy, the Marine.
Well, I was working for
them. Yes, sir.
That's right. Hey, but I want to ask you another question. When George Bush and Cheney and them got us into this war, they run this country in the ground, and when Obama got up there, there wasn't nothing for him to do nothing with. And the Republicans won't work with him to try to do nothing for the country. And these people out here are hurting all over the United States. And you fellas are drawing a good salary. Most of these people ain't even got a job down here. So I know they ain't going to vote and go along with a black person, and that Democrats, they don't want them to get re-elected when their 4 years is up. They want to take the House over. And they run in the ground when Bush had it. And I want to ask you this. Why don't y'all just take a year's absence with leave and come home and don't draw your salary and let some money get back up in the treasury? And live like us people. And you know what we're up against.
Hey, you brought up about five subjects. I want to talk on the last one first. It'd probably be good if Congress met every 5 years, wouldn't it? You know, it would be good. Would there be gridlock? There wouldn't be any bills. You'd probably be safe. You wouldn't have to be worried about this health care problem today. And you wouldn't have to be worried about taxes and everything. Let me tell you about this. People were tired of the Bush. They were tired of a lot of other people. and they voted for change. I warned people what they were going to get, and they're getting it now. Now, don't think for a minute. If you do, you need to look at it closer. Don't think for a minute that the Obama administration is going to make things right. What they're looking for, they're ideologically driven, socialist leaning.
Another question
before
you leave. Well, I'm not leaving, but I'm giving other people some questions. Let me do this.
Well, my question goes back to what you just said. I've written your office and considered you to have sessions in Agriculture Office, and what I get back about the far left leaning of this president and administration is, well, it gets a certain amount of deference to do such as the cars and things like that. At what point do we step up, and how do we do that? How do we step up this office? You know, he gets a difference to appoint all these czars who are, you know, past sentencing, who is far off, you know, in the left field. How do we change it? Yeah. What do you do? What point does the Senate Congress step up and stop you?
I'll tell you how you change it. I mean, you have to change it at the ballot box, honestly. We're, you know, the pendulum swings and swings back. You know, the Democrats were in control for a long time. We got in control. Then they came back, and that's what happens in America. You know, I tell you this, it's horrible. But you got an election year this year. If the American people like the Obama and what they've been doing and standing for, then vote for it. But by gosh, if you don't, as I don't, vote against it and vote everybody you know, but just vote one. Well, it won't tell you that. Well, that's a dangerous thing. That's what we're fighting now. We're fighting for the life of this country. What built this country was hard work, people sacrificing, people saving, staying together, not overspending, not overborrowing and everything. We're on a financial road to disaster. And this administration, now I'm going to say this, we spent too much as Republicans. We did. Let's be honest about it. And but this administration is going to make us look like school children. And this country is headed down that road, maybe of no return, dangerous, dangerous. Yes, ma'am, this lady.
You mentioned the czars. There's so many of them.
So many czars, so many people
not,
running things with a portfolio and never subject to confirmation.
They're not examined, and they're communists, and they're the one that's running government now.
Well, that's a big issue up there. Of course, others have done it, but they haven't abused it.
How can they go through the same examinations that the other?
Well, the president, he's getting close to the edge on a lot of those things. A lot of those, you know, he's designated. A lot of people have to be appointed by the president, confirmed by the U.S. Senate after you hear about their qualifications, vote them up or down. But what they're trying to do is create jobs, powerful jobs, and I call them people without a portfolio, but they really have one, without sending them to the Senate. You know, they said, well, he just works with the president. This is not a confirmable job. Now, that's debatable, especially when you put a lot of power on it, which will influence our well-being or our, this, you know, downfall.
I know some of them have been checked out.
Yes.
Some of them resigned.
Some of them I voted against, too. Yes, sir.
I believe the people that are going to get elected in November are going to get elected in the Senate and Congress to cut spending. What's going to get cut?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I hope it's not defense, you know, because I think, number one, that the security of this nation is number one, should be, or we'll have no nation.
That's right.
I hope it would not cut the FBI and the Customs and the Border Control, because our immigration policies are flawed now. There are other things. Of course, the problem of what's going to get cut, we don't know. But we only have a third of our budget subject to cuts. The other two-thirds is entitled to automatic spending. We created it that way. And I don't think it'll change much. You know, there'll be talk, rhetoric, until it's broken, which is sad. But this country has got to come to grips, both parties, all the people, that we're going to have to live less. And that's hard for all of us, as families, individuals. Because if we don't, we're going to be broke. We're going to be broke, and the financial underpinnings of this country are deeply at risk right now. We owe more money than any nation in the world. We're still the richest nation in the world, but it's sort of like a rich family. They can go broke, too. You know that? They keep doing it. You ever read about somebody won the lottery? I'm sure. I never won the lottery. I know the math of it. You know, but somebody won the lottery up in Pennsylvania, $250 million. They were broke 3 or 4 years later. Goodness alive. You say rich people can't go broke. They can. Because you see it every day. Rich nations go broke. What happened to Greece can happen to us. That is our number one problem. We have other problems. And not a lot's going to be done about it until it's broken. Totally broke. No matter what we say. You just wait. And I tell you from my time up there, and that's not good. Yes, sir.
Senator, heaven forbid, but if the health care bill passes tomorrow, what are our hopes once we take back the House in 10 and take back the White House in 12? What are our hopes of repealing in part or in its entirety this health care bill?
Well, it depends on how many numbers we have. If we have overwhelming numbers in the House and the Senate, to repeal or modify a lot of that would be good if it were. If we didn't take it back, if we didn't have big margins, we can't do it. You got to set the agenda. I hope we will. I do believe we're going to pick up seats this fall, but it's a long time to the election. We got to do it on the battlefield. I hope the American people will remember, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. This gentleman here.
I have a question about the Supreme Court decision, Citizens United versus the NBC. What's your...
Is that the corporate thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have any problem with that. Unions right now spend more money than anybody in the world on elections. And a lot of times it's not even accounted for. And I think, I don't know how many corporations will give money, but
they got the right, supposedly, to give, spend as much money as they want on
for the support or defeat of anybody. But I don't know how much they're going to spend. Some people say that they have to answer to their stockholders, you know, on this. And a lot of their stockholders might say, well, I don't want you spending any money for this man because I'm against him. I want you to spend it for this man, you know.
Well, do stockholders have any say so?
I hope so, because stockholders own the corporation and they elect directors. And I know if I were a director elected by the stockholders of any major corporation, I would be mindful of how I got there as a stockholder. I would.
Yes, sir.
Senator, on the base realignment that's going to affect Redstone, do you think we might see something here in Winston County from that?
You might see some spinoffs. You won't see a base here. You know, the bases, you know, like the Army Materiel Command and stuff like that, and the ATF, FBI, a lot of stuff, defense intelligence. That's going to be located on the 30,000-acre tract of Redstone. But what happens with all this is you have more jobs coming in and more things. You have a spinoff of private businesses supporting that. You're close enough to... If you go after it for industrial, if you had one business or two businesses that had 200 or 300 jobs, these are high-paying jobs.
Right.
You ought to go after them.
Yeah.
You ought to go after them because you're close enough in proximity to say, heck, you can do business here, right?
Right. Along with that, we have a lot of retirees in the Winston County area from the military. And are you aware of the GI Bill for Life? I don't know what the number is, but what it would do is, for those of us who earned our GI Bill benefits but never used them, that they expired after 10 years. What that would do is allow us to go back to school and use those benefits that we never used, that we earned.
Well, that would have to take an act of Congress to do that.
Right.
To restore, in other words, to not put a statute of limitations, you right. know, on that. I haven't heard about that. You know, I'm not on the Armed Services Committee, which have legislation that Senator Sessions I'm on the Defense Appropriations Committee that would fund any of it.
Right.
You know, if it were passed, you know, the law was passed or not funded. So I would, if I were you, I'd talk to Senator Sessions about that because it'd have to come out of that committee, I believe, legislatively, and go from there. If they did do that, I'd try to fund it, though. Here. Yes, sir.
It's obvious that the Obama administration next is going to push immigration very hard, probably starting this coming week. Does the Senate Republicans, do they have a plan to try to push back? Because if you do not control the borders of the country, you lose your country if you don't believe that, ask the American Indians.
Let me tell you about immigration. I appreciate you bringing it up. Now I'm going to be totally and brutally honest with you. Our immigration policy is broken.
Yes, sir.
It's broken. If you don't think it's not broken, think about how do we have 12 to 20 million illegal immigrants in this country if we protect our borders. We don't keep up with who comes in this country. Millions of people come legally and stay over the visa. Never go back. We don't know this. Our problem is a lot of people in Congress and our president and our Republican leaders, they're soft on immigration. You know, they're really soft. And what immigration reform is about, folks, is amnesty to begin with to the people who are already here illegally. I say we shouldn't reward people who broke the law. We ought to enforce them. Otherwise, we have a nation of chaos. You know, it won't just be immigration law. See, everything else. This country will be
But have you heard from leadership, have you talked so much yourself about a plan to actually push back? Because Obama's going to do the same thing with immigration that he is doing with health care. And we will have amnesty 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months from now if the Senate doesn't hold.
If the Senate holds, if the Republicans stay together, we won't have it. What I fear is they won't stay together. I tell you what, you can count on my votes to vote against anything dealing with amnesty. Okay? What's that, ma'am? Well, that's a big problem. And of course, a lot of times you don't know they're illegal immigrants. And that's the problem. And what you need to do is to determine who's here legally and who's illegal. It's a real problem, and it will get worse if you don't act like it. It's going to get worse.
And can you believe that the undiscovered care that is going to pay for abortions?
That's what they're claiming, that they will come back to reconciliation and knock that out to please get some votes. But if they don't do it, and they pass the Senate bill tomorrow, and he signs it, that'd be the law of the land. That's the court's overturned.
Sure.
It's kind of a big trick, isn't it? Buddy?
Senator Chevron, on behalf of your note, I would thank you. Great job,
for
your constituents, for your folks back at home. And I have to tell you, I haven't been to your office many times. You have the most professional and most courageous one staff. And to get the job done. We know you're under the gun with Obama and all that too. So thank you for speaking for our beliefs and our conservative values. Thank you for your time.
Well, I'm going to do what I think is best for the country. I don't have any other agenda. And I think that the direction some of these initiatives, I wouldn't say all, but most of the big initiatives, they're detrimental, I believe, to the country and the long-term well-being of this country, as I understand it. It's got on me. Anybody else? If not, yes, ma'am, this lady back here.
Yes,
you,
there's a lot of gentlemen back there that we purchased some money lately by Industrial Park. What are you going to do for those gentlemen that are involved in this?
Are you going to help us with
funding to get more jobs in Winston County?
Well, ma'am, I'll do what I can. You got to have you got to prepare for future industry. You need an industrial park. You need an airport. You know, you got can land corporate jets. You got to have that, and I'm sure you got that. You need a good educational system, a basic educational system, because I believe the people in Winston County will work if you give them a chance. I know a lot of these people, and I really would go after some. There are going to be a lot of companies coming into the Huntsville orbit. They all don't want to be in Huntsville. You know, they want to be within a range, you know, probably 70, 80 miles, you know. Just like, and I'll tell you about Tuscaloosa, my hometown. Mercedes-Benz came to Tuscaloosa and invested several billion dollars, but that was just the beginning. They brought 4,000 workers in. But the suppliers, the small companies that came, I believe it was 41 German companies, family-owned companies, they wanted to locate, you know, within a radius, not necessarily in Tuscaloosa, maybe in Coleman County. I think some were there, some in Jefferson, some in Bibb County, all around, a lot of them. But they have more jobs than Mercedes, good-paying jobs. You know, a company, family-owned business, they move you 100 jobs, 50 jobs, 200 jobs. Gosh, that makes a difference. You know, you bring 200 jobs into Winston County with a good payroll, it helps everybody. Everybody gets a sliver, don't they? Y'all know. You know better than I do. It's a good.
Yes, because we've got a lot of children that have left here with quite intelligent.
And
we went out elsewhere, and I like to see that we could keep our children here and have
it's a
the
challenge.
Industry.
It's a challenge everywhere. But thank you for letting me interrupt your lunch and coming out and just vote once this year. Thank you.